This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marina Abramovic, yeah, she is the tits, as they say. Am I saying words that are illegal on this podcast?
I don't know that we say that anymore, okay. But like, I know exactly what you mean, you know, too, so... Hey there, listeners, future callers, and cooking enthusiasts. This is Dinner SOS, the show where we help you save dinner or whatever you're cooking. I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious. Today's show is, I can honestly say, unlike anything we've ever done here on Dinner SOS. We're going after our caller's culinary white whale.
Okay, I'm with Jesse Shevchek in the test kitchen. It's a gloomy, miserable day. We're about to talk to Maria Bamford. I think the words that are ringing in our ears are farm cake?
Farm cake, yes.
Farm cake. Anybody who's heard Maria's voicemail kind of explaining what her dinner SOS is probably, like us, has more questions than answers.
Hello. This is Maria Bamford and my husband Scott Marvel-Cassie.
Hello.
And we're here to tell you about farm cake. Farm cake was originally thought of as veggie pot cake, where I tried to make vegetable pancakes in a series of pots.
All burned.
Then I thought, what I'd like to have is like a big blueberry muffin, but filled with vegetables and like corn, but then also carrots and maybe an egg and a piece of cheese and a piece of like iron. Anyways, we want all the elements of a farm, but it's muffin consistency. So we got the muffin top, that element, and then we got the moist center.
But not eggy.
Not eggy. I don't want a quiche. Lots of love, Maria Bamford and Scott Marvel-Cassie.
Thank you.
Maybe it was a context thing. Maybe we just misunderstood. I think we just have to go in there and figure it out.
Yeah, I think we need some more details.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you in the studio.
Perfect.
I am not the great. I was actually on the Food Network's Celebrity Worst Cooks.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes.
Nice.
But are you really that bad?
Well, I mean, I think it's a lack of willingness to follow directions.
Okay.
There's a real semi-rebellion going on. My dad had it, too. Like, he kind of taught us how to, you know, go, well, what if you just put raisins in at this point? You know, like...
Maria Bamford is a comedian and author. Her comedy is weird and silly and deeply, deeply personal. And she is hilarious. In all likelihood, she's probably your favorite stand-up comedian's favorite stand-up comedian. And she just released a book featuring some pretty inventive recipes.
My book is Sure I'll Join Your Cult, and this is a mental illness memoir of someone who's trying to belong anywhere. And one of the recipes is called The Artist's Way, and that's when you take three things, almost a rule of three in a lot of creative efforts, and from your fridge, you set the oven to the highest temperature. You put those three things, you know, in the oven, and then you just forget about it.
Are they culinary objects or
yes,
not necessarily?
Yes, like I put an apple, I put a cube of tofu, and I put a date. And then I believe I came back in about 45 minutes and just saw what happened. And it was an exploration and a journey. And I think, another one of my recipes is a scoop of peanut butter. You take your favorite peanut butter. Mine is Skippy Super Chunk. It's refrigerated. I don't like it room temperature.
Whoa.
Yeah, no. I like it chilled. I like it on a fork, You can also raw dog it with a hand if you're depressed, but and then eat it off the tines of a fork with some chilled sweet, I'm going to say Diet Coke, whatever's, you know, if you need a mojito or some sort of situation like that. There's also Find It. This is a recipe you can do if you have dogs. You take a piece of cheese and you break it up into little pieces and you throw the cheese up in the air and you yell, Find It! And then everybody scrambles. And because one of your dogs, I hope, is deaf and blind, they cannot find it. So you take a piece of cheese off the floor and you put it directly into your dog's mouth. And then you can even feed yourself some of that cheese. Because guess what? You can also find it. These are all about success.
But of course, we aren't here to help Maria's dog find a piece of cheese. We are here to get to the bottom of Farm Cake and why Maria feels she's never quite achieved her dream.
What makes me the worst cook is sort of like not learning from my mistakes over and over again. I tend to like to cook things until they're all brown.
Which is not the worst impulse. I feel like brown, you know, it's like synonymous with like a certain level of doneness,
yeah.
You know, visual intrigue.
When you've made everything brown, you know, the colorful vegetables.
I was really trying to help you out there.
I know. And I know I'm sinking the ship because I want to be honest.
I love that. But what does it look like for you, like when you're reading a recipe and is it like... Who are you to tell me what to do with this chicken? Like, you're not here. Like, you don't understand what I've been dealing with today.
Well, what happens? I see the list of ingredients. Usually there's something I don't have. So let's say it's fresh oregano. And then I just go, what is the point? There's a hopelessness that enters my body. And I want to say, I am medicated for all sorts of mood disorders, so that has been sort of dealt with, but it's still there, this sense of defeat from the beginning. And then that colors the whole experience where I go, does it really matter if I put it in the oven for, you know, to braise it? And what is braising? Do I understand what it is I'm doing? I don't. If I have to look up a vocabulary word halfway through a recipe— I also feel lost at sea.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back to the oregano, right? And the feeling of, like, failure being baked into the process from the beginning because something always goes sideways.
Right.
But I think the main thing that makes us professionals, if I can even describe us as that, and I'm curious for your thoughts on this, Jesse, is, like, we know that the presence or non-presence of oregano in the dish in our lives is, it's not inconsequential, but, like, we can work around it.
Okay.
You pivot. And I don't, like, how many fresh herbs do you think I have in my house at any one time?
None.
Like, basically none. I'm not equipped in my life to be able to care for already effectively dead herbs and preserve them in any kind of state that will give them culinary value. I can't handle it. Chives get slimy within 2 days.
Expensive.
And they're expensive.
Right.
Basil, it goes brown and horrible in a second. Or if it's in the summer, I'll put a little plastic bag over it, keep it out on the counter in water, treat it almost like a bouquet of flowers, and that's when it'll last. That's the game changer. But can I handle doing that 9 months of the year? No.
Yeah.
I'm a real person,
yes.
You know? So anytime a recipe calls for a fresh herb, I'm almost always like, even if I had fresh oregano to put in a dish, that would be the thing before all the other things that my kids would identify as an inflection point to dig in and make the reason not to eat the thing itself.
Right.
So it's a zero-sum game. Buy the herb and then use it at your own peril, or don't buy the herb and just learn to do something else and just learn to see the infinite complexity of all the myriad outcomes.
Right.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, Maria takes us on the tractor ride of our lives. Hey, listeners, Chris Morocco here. If you find yourself in a dinner crisis, the Epicurious app comes to the rescue. Not only will you unlock over 50,000 recipes from Bon Appetit and Epicurious, but you'll also receive daily personalized recommendations based on your unique preferences and dietary needs. Head to the Apple App Store and download the Epicurious app to kickstart your 7-day free trial today. Don't miss out on this culinary adventure. Start your free trial and let the Epicurious app be your kitchen hero. Happy cooking. Welcome back to Dinner SOS and Maria Bamford's culinary dream.
Farm cake. It's a vision. It's something like a savory cake filled with vegetables, not a quiche, okay? Now, I tried to recreate it as a veggie pot cake. I made several attempts at this at home. It was also on Worst Cook Celebrity Edition. I tried to do it on that show. What it is, it's sort of like a Bisquick pancake mix, you know, but upscale. Then all the vegetables, maybe with cheese, maybe a little bit of egg, like a whole egg, not just like little chunks of hard-boiled egg or something. And maybe even, and this, of course, is in the final display of the thing, a rustic element, an iron, a piece of iron.
Oh, that's where the iron comes in.
Like, pitchfork, something. But I tried to make this in a pot on the stove, hoping that there would be a rising. And then, of course, that did not happen. What happens is that it burns, and that's not how cakes work. I know what I'm doing is wrong, but there's this real belief, and I think that's the problem with any religion or faith, is when things don't make sense to you, and yet you still somehow have that core thing of, I know it's true.
It's Jesse and I got together and we were like, a farm cake? What does farm cake mean to you, Jesse? And we were talking about how, you know, people do put fruits and even vegetables in cakes all the time.
Sure. Our coworker always blends up raw vegetables and ends up making some batter with them.
Yeah, and I want to see the veg. I want to see the veg. I want to have, you know, a little broccoli flower in that, a cauliflower flower. And that's what makes it very difficult, because I understand that you have to cook those separately, then mix them in the thing without overcooking it.
Okay, here's my question.
Yes.
You know, like, and I know this is a big question, but like, how can we help you? Because like, farm cake is a dream that I fear, you know, may stay out of reach the way it's like concepted, you know, in all its intricate beauty and constituent parts. It's a myth, but maybe it's like, it's the myth that sort of drives us onward,
right?
You know, and maybe the interstitial kind of moments that we can find, like sort of working our way towards farm cake, is incorporating, you know, vegetables into baked goods, is getting just comfortable doing any kind of recipe where you relax into the experience and realize that, like, you know, the oregano doesn't determine the ultimate outcome. Because the main thing that, like, I would love for you to come away from this conversation with is the sense that, like, you actually do have all the tools you need to make yourself delicious food.
Okay.
Is that a big ask?
Well, gosh. Oh, my goodness.
We can walk that back if we
need
to.
Yeah, no. I love it. I'm so, all of a sudden I realize, wow, I didn't realize how I was going to have an awakening.
We try.
I guess I really love the idea of, and this is something I try to do with comedy, is embracing the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, embrace that. It's okay to be the kind of cook that I am. Like, I hear the things that I have been able to make in the past. I can make steak because it's like 5 different steps. You salt and pepper it, oil, make it room temperature. Then you put the thing up for 450 degrees or 500. And then you put it in the pan 5 minutes. Then you broil it for, you know, 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes. And then it's done. With butter.
That sounds very advanced.
Thank you. Tell Maria why that's advanced.
I mean, that's a kind of recipe that I would be anxious making because, like, the margins for error are so fine.
Oh.
Like, steak is high stakes.
Expensive.
Whoa. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No.
I
That's a recipe that scares me.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well.
In a professional environment, like the person doing like all the meat cookery
is
the best person in the entire kitchen.
Oh, no. That's hilarious.
100% meat roast station. That's like the Iceman.
Okay.
Or lady. Ice lady.
Ice lady.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm the ice lady.
You tempering the meat, letting it come to room temperature so you don't have a horrible differential between the very cold thermal center of the steak and then the outside of the steak so that it cooks through more evenly.
Yeah.
You know, knowing how important seasoning is, a two-step cooking process, an initial sear on the stovetop and then an oven finish. This is not like amateur hour.
No, you're impressive.
Well, turns out it's on the internet. And, thank you.
Yeah, come on. And, give yourself some credit.
And then what else I've been doing? My mom also was very good at salads. Mm. So mixed greens, oil and vinegar, sea salt, vegetables, and a soft cheese, kind of a soft cheese and a nut.
Are those the things you also like to eat? Or are there things that you like to eat or you enjoy eating out in the world, but like, you know, you just haven't thought to cook yourself?
Okay, there was a Caesar salad I had once in Adelaide, Australia that was so wonderful. I was dating a clown at the time. Has anybody been there? Things were not going well, so I was taking myself out for a delicious hotel lunch. It had romaine lettuce, and then it had the shaved things of Parmesan cheese that were kind of larger chunks but shaved. And then soft-boiled egg, like a beautiful soft-boiled egg on top, and toasts that kind of crack. And it just, then you mix it all. Oh, and it was like, it was a warm salad, which I'm down for, it turns out. Like not a freeze into a warm salad, but I'm in.
Yeah. It's almost like the farm salad of salads.
It is. I do like a vegetable situation.
Yeah.
Because then I also feel good after that meal. I also love a hot fudge sundae. I definitely am a comedian, so I do eat from truck stops a lot. I do not have a fine palate. I frankly adore a gas station tuna fish sandwich with the tuna nougat. Like,
nougat.
It is not tuna. It is not tuna. I don't know what it is. There are so many preservatives, but it's clearly man-made. It's a man-made fish subject. It's a fish subject.
Approximation.
I'm curious, like, where do you think we go from here? Do you want to bake something with vegetables in it? Do you want to make yourself a hot fudge sundae?
I want to bake something with vegetables in it. That is definitely what I want to do.
Top of the list.
Because I think that'll last for a week. Caesar salad is only a one-day experience. You know, like, you don't want that always the second day.
Here's the part where it's like, I have to be, you know, I have to, like, reality check why so many of, like, other people's versions of farm cake involve vegetables that have been, if not fully pureed, then shredded. Part of what seems like kind of core to your dream, you know, your platonic ideal farm cake, is this notion of encountering these, like, vegetable moments.
Right.
These discrete, discernible moments of veg.
A seasoned cauliflower floret, maybe even with a little curry in it.
Wow.
In the midst of the muffin.
Specific.
Suspended within cake.
Suspended within a savory cake.
That's actually not the craziest idea.
No.
What would be a muffin recipe that, like, Maria could go home, do a little, I don't even know that you have to pre-roast it. It might just steam in there. Maybe you need to steam it for a couple minutes just to take a little bit of the raw out of it.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes.
You could even, like, microwave your, until they're, like, half cooked if you're trying to, like, really quickly get this in the oven.
Yeah. Which
is, get them started, kind of.
I'm always trying to quickly.
What if the construction was like, it's like, we need to arrive at, like, some kind of savory, sweet muffin matrix, right? You're kind of pre-cooking your cauliflower just ever so slightly, right? And then you're half filling your muffin liners.
Right, okay.
And then you're plunking in one upright cauliflower floret. into the center of each muffin.
Interesting.
And then you're putting the rest of the batter on top, and then you're baking as directed.
That sounds very interesting. Now, can I pop anything else in there, like a little chunk of cheese?
Yes. Sure. Yes.
Or cheese up top with some grated carrot.
Maybe cheese on top.
Maybe
be
cheese
more successful.
On top. You might be able to get away with a little bit of cheese in there. You may. Yeah. I mean, you could even probably throw a raisin. Maybe even a pea.
Is the batter like cornbread-esque?
It could be, but I also don't want to say, oh, it has to be radical farm cake. Like it's just a corn muffin. Well, I want to see the corn. I want to see the corn.
Mm.
Can you think of like a corn muffin, like within like BA or Epi, that we could use as a starting point and we could just write in sort of a results not guaranteed set of blueprints for Maria to follow to augment it? And we get some corn in there. It's a corn muffin base, some
corn,
some cheese.
Cheese.
Cauliflower. Like, so when you cut into the muffin, when you bisect it,
you see
the cauliflower.
You see that cauliflower and you're like, oh my God, I'm at a farm.
Yep.
I think this is very doable.
I think this is highly doable.
Okay, great.
And what's weird.
I could serve it with an egg.
Yeah.
We're going to need to like keep the egg part of it to the side and content ourselves with the fact that there's egg in the corn muffin.
Totes. I think that's great, you know, because sometimes I don't want to be unreasonable. I don't want to be, you know, somebody living in a fantasy world, you know, because that's part of dreams coming true is that allowing them to be a little bit different than what you visualized.
What I think is fascinating about this conversation is, do you know what I went into it thinking? I was thinking, I need to draw Maria towards us. I need to get her to see the beauty of, I have like a bunch of different examples here, of like a muffin that's got banana and quinoa pieces in it, or like a carrot sheet cake that has whole blended carrot in it. But instead what's happened is like you've almost drawn us towards you. You've made us stakeholders in the farm cake vision. And I don't know how you did it. Maybe it's the sweater. Maybe it's the glasses. Like, it's like we're over on the other side of the table with you now, making some version of farm cake a reality.
I'm so glad. Well, I think, you know, when someone does have a strong, I mean, that's it's a compliment to you and your willingness to listen, because that can be painful when you go, oh, we've already got an idea that's already working for hundreds of years. And then to listen to the minority opinion and take into account that thought process is valid as well. So kudos to you. Thank you.
It's not dissimilar to how we kind of work with each other as food editors, because oftentimes I have to convince Chris of an idea and then he adds something, I add something, it becomes something else.
So,
I mean, in front of me, I have immediately the first on Bonab's extra corny cornbread muffins description, made with cornmeal instead with fresh corn.
Oh, that sounds nice. And that's very farmy.
They look lofty.
I think this might be the one to do it. I think the working title of this recipe is going to have to be something in the vein of like results not guaranteed farm cake muffins, you know?
Of course. Of course.
Like this is going to be an adventure. But I think in terms of like a place to jump in, if I were to do this, like this is what I would do. So like, I mean, just so you know, within the relative norms of this show, we're like way off in left field. You know,
really?
we're in the back 40.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Of the farm. We're not in like the cute part of the farm.
Right.
We're like in the back with the like.
This is proof of concept.
You know what?
Well, that's what I say when I put up bad food.
I used to live on hippie cooperatives. So this is what Bruce is working on. He's half the time is working on his hats for the loom for the co-op. He's selling those for $15 a piece and half the time is making farm cakes.
Bruce is definitely knitting most of his own clothing. For sure.
He's been kind of depressed, but he's hoping these new hats will really sell.
Yeah.
They're going to move.
That is the power of belief, folks. We left the studio and Jesse headed to the test kitchen to get to work adapting the extra corny corn muffins into farm cake. After the break, we find out what happened down on the farm.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or anytime. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
And we're back with Dinner SOS. And I am here in the studio with Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
Hello.
So we sort of broke from our meeting with Maria. She did some kind of weird LA Jedi mind trick on us, right? Like, I feel like we went in there with a plan. We were going to get her to bake just like a simple cake or other kind of baked good that somehow involved a vegetable. Mm-hmm. But she schnookered us. She lured her into the tangled web of her mind. And we ended up doing something quite different, didn't we?
Well, we kind of developed a recipe just for her.
We've literally never done that before.
It's like kind of is the bold word here. We kind of developed it.
Well, yeah. And what was our starting point? Bring people in. Tell them like what the process was. I'm not saying like we're like swearing by the process. Like results were never guaranteed on this one.
Sure.
But tell people what the process was.
Well, we used an existing thoroughly tested developed recipe by Molly Baz, her extra corny cornbread muffins. So we had a very solid starting point. And from there, we just threw things in that she requested. So curry powder, the cauliflower. We have some peas in there. We even tested with some like soft-boiled eggs in there because she mentioned that. And we did have a cross-tester in the test kitchen try these out and try different iterations.
And tell people what happened with the egg.
The egg, it was cool. It was very cool, but they are quite large. So even when you're using like a jumbo muffin pan, which was a request from her, it takes up so much real estate that the muffin almost can't like fully expand in the way that it's supposed to, like on top and on bottom. It's so heavy it weighs down the batter. But it was cool. It worked to a certain extent.
Yeah, there was this kind of band of slightly undercooked batter around the egg.
Yeah, it was like kind of gummy around
it. A little gummy.
Yeah. It retained its nice cook, though. It was runny. It wasn't a complete fail.
No. And the cauliflower.
Cauliflower was much more successful.
Big time.
Yes.
There was nothing wrong with that.
No, it was just a big, very dramatic piece of cauliflower inside of a muffin, which is what we were after.
Totally. Yeah. Like, it fulfilled the brief beautifully.
Yes.
And talk about the other additions to the muffin.
Curry powder, cheese, and frozen peas.
Exactly. So, like, we didn't take, there is, like, you know, a modicum of white sugar in this muffin, which we did not try to take out because ultimately it's contributing to the moisture and some of the structure of the muffin. And plus, like, it's not wrong for it to be, have, like, a little bit of sweetness in it. But we really dialed up the savory aspect of that muffin and just used the muffin as this kind of framework to build a farm cake, if you will, off of.
Like, yeah. The chemistry was there.
And to back up still further, okay. Like, we've had other opportunities to develop original recipes for Dinner SOS, and we just have not done that.
Mm.
But we did it for Maria.
She really, I mean, it felt like an art project in a way, which was exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, it felt like we were like giving, this isn't a recipe, this is like giving her confidence almost. Or at least I hoped, kind of.
I want to believe so. I don't know, like her fixation with the oregano made me sad. The fact that, like, once, like, I read this thing, it was like A Modern Love, and it was like all about how we're all like prisoners of our own lives, but not in a sad way, like in a happy way. Like the choices that we make kind of like enmesh us, right, in the fabric of our lives. And he was talking about like how his kid and he like kind of had like a big fight about beets. It's like nobody needs to cry over friggin' beets and nobody needs to cry over oregano.
Mm.
You've always got marjoram. There's always going to be another borderline woody, super volatile herb. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, I wanted to make this for her.
Jesse, I could tell Jesse wanted to make this happen.
I don't know. I felt like a connection. Like, I have to do this.
I know. Okay. So, farm cake happened. You know, the results were always going to be a little squiffy, but I hear that we have some audio of Maria embarking on her bake. Can we play that?
Hey, it's Murray Bamford. I'm here making farm cake. I've decided, which may not be a good idea, to add some things. Some of the cauliflower that I bought wasn't making the cut. So I got broccoli. And then I also want to add just some beef frankfurters just in case. And I'm going to try soft boiling an egg inside. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll lose my abilities. Or not my willingness, not my abilities. Here's hoping.
Maria took it and she drove the farm cake right off the cliff.
I'm like half sad, but then half also like, you know what? An artist is going to art.
You seem charmed.
Yeah, no,
you
I'm
seem
like,
delighted.
I'm like, I feel like she's committed to this bit and I kind of want to see where it goes.
We were never in control. We believed that by getting out in front of like the farm cake narrative and giving her a recipe and giving her instructions that we were like somehow regaining control of the situation. And in fact, we control nothing.
Yeah, this is like the mind of an artist at work. And I'm like, I kind of appreciate it, you know?
Are there visuals of the outcome here? Okay, would love to see those.
I'm so scared. What's the color?
Huh.
It looks like almost like mold.
You mean on top?
Yeah.
Are they blueberries? That's a blueberry.
Is it? It's so blue, though.
I think it's a blueberry, man.
Honestly, I will say that the doming looks pretty good.
The doming doesn't look half bad. The light sort of striations across like the surface, like the rise she got on these is not wrong.
No, they look good.
They kind of fell apart, but you know what I think she did? Did she not use like a muffin liner? I think she put the batter directly in the pan, and the issue was in the unmolding because the bake actually looks pretty solid. The color top and bottom is nice.
Yeah.
The interior crumb is there. You can I think did she put like a mixture of broccoli and blueberry? So like that's a broccoli florette.
Yes.
But then elsewhere, like isn't that a blueberry?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think like she did like side by side blueberry and broccoli florette. And sometimes there's that issue where like blueberries want to sink into a batter. But honestly, God, I hate to say it. If she had just put a friggin' muffin tin liner in these things,
they don't look bad.
She would have been fine.
Like structurally, they look successful.
Yep.
They have nice cracking. They're even kind of shiny on top.
Yep. A little sheen. Must be said.
Yeah, I think, you know, we did our job.
Yeah.
And the art is out of our hands at this point.
It sure is. Yeah. So she made farm cake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It happened.
Farm cake
Whether
happened.
We wanted it to or didn't. And I'm happy for her.
Yeah, I'm happy too. I feel like I respect whatever happened to us.
Yeah.
Whatever she did to us, I was entertained.
Totally.
And I hope she enjoyed the recipe.
This is so fun. Oh my God. I just, like, this is all I ever want to do. Look, our goal is always to get people cooking more and more confidently. And if we helped Maria get even a tick more courage in the kitchen, then we've succeeded. As for farm cake,
maybe broccoli and cauliflower isn't good in cornbread. I think I liked it better when it was in my imagination. And that's what fantasy is for. Thank you so much for letting me be on the show. And thank you for farm cake. It was very good. It just, you know.
If you have a dinner emergency on your hands, write to us at dinnersos@bonappetit.com or leave us a voice message at 212-286-SOS1. That's 212-286-7071. And I don't know about you, but we're already getting ready for holiday cookie baking. So if you have questions about cookies, send them our way. You can find the extra corny corn muffin recipe on which we based Maria's farm cake on the Epicurious app, brought to you by Condé Nast. Just search Epicurious in the App Store and download today. And we've also included a framework for how to make Maria Bamford's farm cake at home, which we'll link to in the show notes. Results not guaranteed. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice. And hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening to Dinner SOS.
I'm your host, Chris Morocco. My co-host this week is Jesse Shevchek. Our producer is Michelle O'Brien. Story editing is by our executive producer, Jordan Bell. Peyton Hayes is our associate producer. Cameron Foose is our assistant producer. Jake Loomis is our studio engineer. Amar Lal mixed this episode. Thank you to Maria Bamford for bringing us into the fable of Farm Cake. We had a blast and hope you did too. Next week, last year, John finally convinced his mother-in-law to let him host Thanksgiving, and it went amazingly. But now, he's become a victim of his own success. Can we help him make a perfecter Thanksgiving meal?
If we do things right this year, people are going to be weeping at the end of the meal. Like, it's going to be just so good, they're going to be overcome with emotion.
Why didn't both of our dads like raisins so much?
Maybe it was a sort of like a treat in the 19th century. My dad was born in the 40s, but like it was like it's like the orange with the peppermint stick in it where you're like, is this a luxury? Like something that on the Titanic that they served in a ramekin.
They both fondly remember it.
Here at Dinner SOS, we love tackling your kitchen issues. But what if I told you there's a way to rescue dinner before it turns into an emergency? With expert insights from the test kitchen, cooking and entertaining tips, and a treasury of over 50,000 recipes, Bon Appetit and Epicurious are your lifelines to rescue any meal. And right now, our listeners can get 20% off an annual digital subscription, including access to the user-friendly Epicurious app. Just use code SOS20 at bonappetit.com. That's SOS20 for a 20% discount on an annual digital subscription to Bon Appetit and Epicurious. Happy cooking. And don't worry, I'll still be here if your dinner plan self-destructs.
From PRX.